Great to see you tonight on this pre-Christmas Eve service, right? Pre-Christmas Eve, yeah. Okay, anyway, it's great to be together, and thanks for coming out tonight. Thank you for supporting Destiny Village. It's an orphanage now for the last 16 or so years that we have co-sponsored and co-founded, actually. So we're very thrilled that you're participating tonight to give to help those children. And they have to have these batteries because the electricity does not stay on, and it is energized and then disperses the energy when the electricity goes off, which is quite often. So thanks, Pastor Troy. We appreciate that so much. You know, what a day, what a time that we live in. You know, when you think about it, there's so much strain in this world. There's so many relationships that are kind of on the edge. People are bickering and fighting, and people are stating their positions, and, you know, just so vehemently at times. And sometimes you feel the anger that comes across the page, or people just trying to challenge others. And I read a scripture in Romans 5 that I think is appropriate tonight. It's in verse 11. It says, "Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins." Look at this. Making us friends of God. Wow. Friends of God. Can you imagine that? That Jesus Christ died to make us friends with God. Now, you think that if we're friends with God, we ought to be able to be friends with each other. However, I found a cute illustration. I shared a couple of those with you yesterday. I've got a few extras. It's something that you'll never see in a card marked Hallmark. However, I think it illustrates the strain in this generation. Just think with me for a minute, if you were having difficulty in friendship and you received a card like this: "Hey, you look great for your age, almost lifelike." Probably will never see that card in a Hallmark shop. Or how about this one? "We've been friends for a very long time. What do you say we call it quits?" And finally, I like this one. A card that you'll never see in a Hallmark card. It says, "I'm so miserable without you. It's almost as if you were here with me." You know, go back to Romans 5. God made us to be friends with Jesus, and yet we have difficulty being friends with one another, and our families are strained, and relationships have been broken. There was a newspaper in England that gave a huge reward for the best definition of what a friend is. Thousands answered. Here was the winner. "A friend is one that comes when everyone else goes." I like that. A friend is one who comes when everyone else goes. It seems like rather than being good at being friends, we're better at being enemies. We're better at learning how to disagree, how to fight, and how to feud. Did a little research, and it's not exact, but over the last 5,000 years, there has been at least 15,000 known wars on this planet. We're very good at funding war, fueling war, facilitating skirmishes, and creating conflicts. But the friendship thing seems to be the most difficult. Dr. Lester Sumrall, one of my mentors in my last the last 12 years of his life, said to me, he said, "You know, if you can find at least one or three friends in a lifetime, you're a very wealthy man. Because most people will not be able to maintain a friendship over the course of life." So friendship is one who comes when everyone else is going. When I think about Christmas, I think about reconciliation. I think about bringing people together. If God can bring humanity together through Christ, then certainly that union should bring us together. Reconciliation at Christmas. It will quiet conflict and it turns tension into tranquility. I like Luke 2 and verse 14, the Living Bible. It's so descriptive, you know, in modern language. And it says this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven. They sang, peace on earth for all those pleasing him. In other words, Jesus was going to come to earth and he was going to teach us the way of peace. But he was going to do more than that. He was going to empower us to live a life of peace. I like that better. I like that better. I want to learn about peace, but you know what? I want to live a life of peace. I don't know about you, but I don't like confrontation. I don't like strained relationships. I don't like it when people hurt. How about you? I just don't feel like that ought to be the way it is. And I've been in church long enough now that I know there are a lot of people who come to church and they get hurt. What they thought was going to be a friendship turns out not to be a friendship. And we, because Christ came to not only teach us about peace, but he came also to give us the power to live the life of peace, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. In other words, you and I ought to be able to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to have right relationship with God, but also one another. And so I'm challenged tonight. I'm thinking, God, where is it in my life that I am not in right relationship with people around me? I don't want to go through Christmas knowing that my brother has aught against me or I've failed in a relationship to someone else. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit has given to us the ability to not only experience peace, but to make peace. It seems that in our civilization, we've lost our civility. Our lives have been adapted to include conflict as normal. We've redefined family. We've redefined relationships. It's now rudeness, not kindness. That's what rules. People are downright rude, even at Christmas. Conflict comes and arises between races and nationalities and languages and political adherences and ethnicities and the rich and the poor. Interpersonal conflicts like marriage and family abound. And I keep thinking how Jesus Christ came to make us friends with God. And I think, Lord, if you came to make us friends with God, why are we having so much problem being friends with each other? Why is it that we can't initiate this covenant of love and peace, not only with you, but with those that we love, our families, our friends, the people that we work with, the people that we hang out with? You see, I believe what's happened is the world has become littered with the debris of a divided and broken home, damaged children, discarded friendships, and destroyed partnerships. You see, the Prince of Peace can bring peace to me tonight, but I'm going to have to adjust. I'm going to have to position myself to understand what the peace of God is and what is the implication of peace. I found a great scripture in Proverbs 13 and verse 10 out of the Living Bible. It reads this way: pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. Well, maybe it's not you so much as it is me. Maybe I have a pride issue. Maybe that's why I'm always arguing with the other person, arguing with the decisions that seem to impact me and affect me. Maybe it's not so much others, maybe it's me. The scripture identifies that it could be. Perhaps there's pride. James says this: what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you? A whole army? Seriously? That's pretty descriptive. Quarrels and fights among us because I have a whole army of evil desire within me? And here I thought it was their fault. And Paul said it like this: don't worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need and always give thanks. Because I believe that peace can only be achieved with others when you find true peace with God. And you know how you know if you found true peace with God? You have goodwill toward men. That's what God said. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, I can gauge myself. I can evaluate and define my covenant of peace with God based on whether or not I have goodwill toward others. I find myself out of alignment at times. Peace with God, yes, but I'm struggling with him. I'm struggling with her. God, what is it? You see, really, Romans 5:1 gives us a description. It says this: so now, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, we can have real peace with him because of what our Lord has done for us. I didn't realize it. I thought I was at war with you. I'm at war with myself. I'm at war with God. You see, we are just playing out our broken relationships, our pride, our arrogance, our incompatibility, our prejudgment of others. All that basically is a symptom of the fact that you and I are at war with God. Let me give you a hint. No one has ever won a war with God. You might want to consider tonight a peace treaty. Philippians 4:7 says this: and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know what happens? It filters out the negative. When you have peace with God and you're guarding your heart and mind, all the negative that others may do or maybe even initiate, it becomes like a filter, and suddenly it doesn't impact you nearly to the degree that it would otherwise. Symptoms of being at war with God. You say, what are they, Pastor? Well, here's one: irritability. Do you find yourself irritable? You think, well, if it wasn't for her saying that all the time, I wouldn't be so irritable. Yeah, you've got that down, don't you? You know how to point the finger. You know how to place the blame on other people. But in reality, you're at war with God. Irritability with others and a quick temper. You make me so mad. I don't know that anybody has the power to make another person mad. You control your own soul. You and I have the ability to govern our own emotions. How about insecurity and impatience? What about manipulation and arrogance? What about boasting and holding on to grudges? Oh yeah, that's a good one. Christmas after Christmas after Christmas. Well, I don't want them over here. You know what they did back in 1995. No, I don't remember. I do, and I'll never forget it. My friend, you are at war with God. You're not at war with Uncle so-and-so or friend so-and-so. You are at war with God. Let me give you another hint. No one has ever won a war with God. Boasting and holding on to grudges. Here it is, Galatians 5:19 to 21. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied once, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or to be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. Paul said, I could go on. I'm thinking, wow, that's enough. Here's the contrast. See, that's the way of life without peace, but here's the way of life with peace. Same chapter, Galatians 5. Now, though, verses 22 and 23, Paul goes on to write this: but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life and serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Wow, think about it with me. That's powerful. We could either go Galatians 5, 19 and 20 and deal with all of that mess, or we can find the peace of God, inviting Christ into our heart and into our life. You see, it's at the cross. It's a very simple message. But the subject of the matter tonight is reconciliation. The scripture says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I like that because the peace of God is really not substantial unless it impacts the people that you live with. I've realized something over the years, that I could have all the knowledge of God and all the anointing to flow under, but if I can't get along with the people in my life and I can't find reconciliation with those who I have had a broken relationship with, then I'm missing somewhere the true message of Christmas. Recently in the local news, they had to cancel a basketball game at one of the high schools. The reason? The night before, one of the high school's parents from the opposing teams rushed the court. They tried to attack the referee and then ended up fighting each other. People were arrested, and so they decided to cancel the game the next night and suspend the team. Now, I just have to ask one question. Who are those people at war with? Was it that referee who's getting paid $35 to referee a game, making a bad call? Was it the parent on the other side of the visitor section who maybe said some things about their son that they shouldn't have said? No. I think it was because they were at war with God and don't even know it. You know, that's really the danger of living life apart from God. Thinking everyone else is the reason for your problems, when in reality, you and I are responsible. How do we fix those kind of things? How do we go back into our past? And how do we mess with the present? And how do we guard ourselves in the future from not becoming suspect? I think there's only one way. And that is when you and I will come to the cross of Christ, ask Him to forgive us of our sins, invite the Prince of Peace into your life, and allow Him now to rule and reign, guarding your heart, guarding your mind. You know, I've read that scripture so many times, and I'm beginning to understand it now. Because sometimes people say things to me that if I don't have the peace filter on, it'll hurt me. If I don't have the peace filter in my mind, I'll think that they're really trying to gain and manipulate and to somehow take advantage of me. But I know something now, because if I can put the peace filter on my heart and on my mind, then it matters not what others do. I can be like Jesus, who had the greatest peace filter on his heart and mind when he hung from the cross and simply said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I refuse to hold them accountable because sin has dominated them and they're at war with you." The greatest peace treaty in humanity is Christ at the cross. The greatest peace treaty ever offered to any of the 15,000 wars known to man that have been fought is Jesus Christ. Some of us today have to deal with broken families and divided relationships. We have this sense that we don't want to talk about them anymore. We try to bury them in our past and say, you know what? It's just not worth it. But it is worth it. And I'm telling you why it's worth it. For Christ's sake, it is worth it. Because I want to demonstrate to a world and to a family, to a community, that the peace of God is more powerful than just assuring me of heaven someday. You see, I can demonstrate the fact that I carry the peace of God because I can be at peace with you. I can love you no matter what you say. I can honor you even if you dishonor me. I can pray for you even if you betray me. I can go to the end of the world to meet a need in your life even though you don't even care. That's what Jesus did. So this Christmas, I'm inviting you to open up the greatest gift. Yeah, we've said it before, the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. But I'm saying tonight, the greatest gift is the peace that Christ brings. You see, He is that peace. And I want to demonstrate to a community called Valley View and a greater city called Cleveland and a nation called the United States and nations around the world that there are people here in this location that have met the Prince of Peace and have goodwill toward men. We care not where you've come from. We care not what's on your resume. It matters not if you're just released from prison as a felon. It matters not what you've done to others or what you've done to yourself, because you understand something. There's a peace filter in my mind, and I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to belittle you or make you feel small. Well, we've said it a few times around here, have we? I'm going to love you, and there just ain't nothing you can do about it. It's the true message of Christmas, you see. It is the true message of reconciliation. And I want so much to see the power of God's peace to begin working in our families. I don't know that I'm troubled any more in my life than when I know there's strife or disagreement in my family or in my church. I can't think of another thing that brings greater pain to me is to know that this person has been hurt by this person and they're not speaking. I go to God and I say, Father, what can I do? How can I remedy this? We cannot leave this to be. This is not kingdom. It is an intrusion upon that great night when the angels began to sing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Last year, we were blessed to be part of the St. Jude's Hospital fundraising, and I was interviewed for about 2 minutes and 30 seconds on Channel 8. Sat down on the morning show, and Wayne Dawson asked me, tell me then, Pastor, why is the church supporting St. Jude's Hospital? Immediately in my spirit, I didn't pre-plan, it just came up. I said, well, Wayne, the Bible said goodwill toward men. They're not having to be qualified. They don't have to be a part of my church. They don't have to be a part of my community. They don't have to be a part of my denomination or ethnicity. They don't have to be a part of my club. They don't even have to go to my church. God didn't qualify that. He just said goodwill toward men. That's why we go to Haiti. That's why we go around the world in missions. That's why we reach out to Slavic Village in the February month. That's why we are beginning to see the need to extend the hand of friendship to those who need to meet the greatest friend. My question to you tonight is, have you met him? Have you made peace with God? I mean true peace. Now, I know some of us have relationships that seem to be impossible. I've had some of those. I tried to reconcile them. I remember having dreams of crawling on my knees in front of one of my family members' homes, just begging for them to forgive me, and I didn't even know what I did. Sometimes it doesn't seem to work. You extend your love and you extend your peace and it doesn't seem to be received. I always think of the story from time to time about Malchus. Malchus was a servant of the high priest who went to serve the soldiers on the night that they arrested Jesus. Peter, being a zealot, pulled out his dagger and cut off Malchus's ear. It's like, really? Jesus stepped in between the skirmish and he said, put away your sword. And then he did something very strange. He picked up the earpiece of Malchus and put it back and healed him. That gesture tells me a lot. My sister could never bring healing to me. And nor can the people who have hurt you the most. Peter could have never brought healing to Malchus. He caused the pain, and Malchus could have said, you fix this. Look what you did. I'm going to hate you forever. And he had every right to say that in the natural. But when Jesus steps in between an altercation, he is able to pick up what never can be restored and touch where only he can touch. And suddenly now Malchus is healed. So I learned something. The people that hurt you, the people that bring the greatest pain to you, are not often the people that will bring healing to you. So if you're sitting here tonight with a broken relationship of a mother or a father or sister or brother or a coworker or a friend, and you wish they would just repent and come back and ask for forgiveness, I think you need to start going to heaven and saying, Jesus, would you step in between this altercation and would you touch this broken place? Would you touch this place that I'm hurt? Would you touch this place where I have been so severed in my life as a result of this relationship? That's the Christmas message. It is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, all over this room and the people who are hearing of my voice that have been hurt deeply over their lives, that seemingly there is no way to bring healing and restoration. Holy Spirit, you bring it. Even with this story of Malchus. Father, I ask now that they would go to heaven's throne. Would you do it right now? Would you just close your eyes and go to heaven's throne and say, Father, I need you to heal that severed place in my heart. I need you to bring restoration to that place of bruising, that place of bleeding, that place of disconnection. God, I need you to touch me. For it's only you that can bring that wholeness to my life. Now, Father, while you're doing that, I pray for a supernatural connection right now. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God. I thank you. Your promises are true. You said that he who calls upon me shall be saved. That means delivered. That means healed. That means restored. I'm encouraging you now, church, to call upon the name of the Lord right there where you're sitting, right there where you're praying, that deep place, that hidden place, and ask him to heal that. I'm trusting that that's exactly what he's doing. Let me say this. You have another option, you know. 2 days before Christmas, it'll be over. We'll be into a new year. You can live your life and forget about it. I mean, after all, how many times are you going to go to church and hear a message about a severed ear? Peace with others. Occasionally, you'll hear that. And if you sit through this one and make it, maybe you can live your life with that thing in your pocket. See, that was Malchus's other choice. His other choice was simply to pick up that piece of flesh and put it in his pocket and walk away and let it become an emblem, let it become a memorial of all the pain that Peter caused him in his life. And every time he met anyone, he would be able to pull it out as a trophy and say, "You see what he did to me? Do you see what they did at that church? Look!" And sure, you'll have the evidence. You'll even initiate some sympathies. People will probably stand in agreement with you. You might even find a church that will endorse your hatred. But here's the thing about decaying flesh. It has an odor. And everywhere you go, there's going to be something about you that just doesn't seem right. Why not let God heal? Why not let God restore? That's what this message of Christmas is all about. Jesus told the disciples that, "I want you to go and prepare a place, prepare a room for me." He said, "There we're going to have a supper together. It's going to be the last supper that I'm going to have with you on earth." He instructed the apostle Paul to take bread and to take a cup and create symbolism with it. He said, "The bread will represent my body and the cup will represent my blood. My blood which was shed for you, which will establish a new covenant. And my body broken, which will bring healing and restoration to every part of your life. I want you to continue to take this meal until I come back again. And I want you to remember what I did." Wow. Tonight when I take that cup, I'm going to go into the Garden of Eden. I don't know where you're going to go. I might go back to 3119 Estelle Avenue. I might go back there. That's where my sister lived. Maybe I'll go back to some previous hurts or places the Holy Spirit will show me. And I'll take communion there. And I'll let the bread, the broken body of Christ, heal me, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me. You've been given a cup and wafer, so if you'd kindly receive that, I'd appreciate that so much. And throw one up here to me, if you don't mind. Thank you. I got it. I did it. Oh, you got it? Oh, thanks. I always thumb around with that and have a hard time seemingly to get that. Romans 5:10 in the Message Bible says this: "Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, this consummate blood sacrifice, there's no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. If when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of His Son, now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of His resurrection life. Now that we've actually received this amazing friendship with God, we're no longer content to simply say it in plodding prose. We sing and we shout our praises to God through Jesus the Messiah. So Holy Spirit, I'm praying tonight for reconciliation in this room with You. I'm praying for an end to hostility in the lives of Your children. I'm praying for peace to rule and reign in their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Some of us tonight, as we hold these emblems, Father, it is not an easy or light thing. It's real. It's a reality of loss, rejection, pain, disappointment. But I'm taking this tonight not in some pristine upper room of stained glass windows and choirs and beautiful organ music, but I'm taking it in the place where I hurt the most. And I thank you for the peace of God, Father. Let peace rule and reign in our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So bless this bread now. As we break it together, please do so. And we bless it. Let's receive it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come heal our hearts. Come touch our lives. We need you now, God. Oh, yes, we do. Father, in the greatest plain in your life, you brought healing to Malchus. So now in this service tonight, God, bring healing to my friends that have gathered in this room tonight to celebrate the advent of our Christ, our Messiah. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so tonight, Father, I realize that it's not my dad that can heal me, my sister that can bring restoration to me, my friend that betrayed me, my former spouse that can renew me. I come to the cross tonight. And I thank you for your great peace. Coming down from the Father of lights, sweep over my soul and renew me. I pray. Bless this cup now as we receive it. And when you drink it tonight, church, I'm going to ask you to think with me for a minute. As it goes down into your mouth and you swallow it into your stomach, let that go into the recesses of the dark place of unforgiveness, the place that needs to be reconciled, the place that needs to be touched by the finished work of Christ, right down there deep. Holy Spirit, would you open that room to this blood of Christ tonight in Jesus' name? Let's partake of the cup together. Worship a worship song. How about Holy Spirit? You are welcome here. Come on, let's just lift a hand up before Him. Let's worship Him. Thank you.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the
experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become
by your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of light. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone,
it's your presence, Lord.
Your presence,
Yeah.
tonight, Father, we thank you that the peace of God has made peace in our heart and peace in our soul. And we ask, Father, now as we just allow this to marinate us and permeate us to the very core of our being, God, thank you that your presence is here to lift and to encourage and to strengthen, God. We give you praise, honor, glory. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome. We love you, Jesus. Amen. We love him tonight. Thank you, Lord. We want to conclude the night with our candle lighting and silent night. I need a candle. And I have a little lighter thing up there somewhere. I don't know what happened. Oh, there it is. Yay. All right. Do you all have candles? You want candles? Yeah, the girls want candles, guys. Can you bring up some candles for our beautiful singers and guys? And you know, this year this song has a special meaning to me for a couple of reasons. But number one is most of my family are here tonight. And we've got a brand new grandson, Louis number 3. He's here. And then we have 2 new granddaughters that are here, and that's Danica and Dahlia. And Dahlia is the young one, Danica is the oldest one. Mary and Adrian are fostering 2 new children, and we're excited about that. So would you all like to join me? Dominic and Dion are here from school, all the way from Texas, Houston or Dallas. Where is Dallas? And you got on the plane. That poor family never made it. Sorry for them. And Dion rode a Greyhound bus from California. Wow. 3.5 days, no shower. He was like a homeless man. And that's right. Jeremiah drove from Rhode Island, Providence, in a snowstorm by himself, all the way praying in tongues. And God made him. God blessed them. So, family, would you like to join me along the front here, please? And we can put the lights down. That'd be great. Thank you. And we're going to light ours, and then we'll come out and light yours. So everybody get up here. Okay. We're going to sing Silent Night. You're all going to help us.
Oh.
There was a school in America this past week who had a Christmas pageant. They included Silent Night into one of their repertoire of songs, and they were instructed by the principal to omit Christ, the Savior was born, from that song. You know, when I think about that, I think, well, then you just don't have Silent Night. You just lost the entire meaning. You know, tonight we're grateful and thankful. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the fact that we can come and worship freely as we do. Hold these candles that really represent the light of the world, Christ in our hearts, the hope of glory, amen. And that we together can look toward the future with a bright hope, knowing that our God is a greater God and a bigger God, and that our Christmas this year is going to be one of the best ever. And I pray that not only you made peace with God, but make peace with one another. If you've not received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, do that tonight. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, first of all, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. Secondly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. C, confess that sin and ask Him to come into your heart. It's a simple message, A, B, C. We pray that you'll make that prayer tonight. Don't forget Sunday. It's going to be a great day here of celebration. Then into the new year, can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do. Remember, February the 16th, we're all going to take a bus and we're going to invade a church in Akron together at 6 o'clock at night. I found out that they won't have enough seats, but that'll even make it more fun, won't it? We'll just show up and take over and, no, not take over, but you know, join in and just be a part of it. So mark that date down as well. Well, let's try this. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. You all help us sing it, okay? We wish you a Merry Christmas. Come on, Chris, help me out.